Welcome everyone, this is Lorraine Purihi from Relaunch Your Life, and today I have with me Denise Richards. Now, Denise Hall, I know Denise Richards, I know a whole heap of Denises, must have been one of those senior moments. So we've got Denise Hall here, and Denise is a very well-known, she's an entrepreneur, she's been involved with a lot of businesses, and she's a business broker, and she also specialises with buying online businesses. So welcome, Denise.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's great to have you. So can you just tell us a little bit about your background, how you got to be here?
Yeah, so ex-business owner, 15 years owned my own business. That ended up being the third business that I had built and sold. That was approximately 4 years ago. And off the back of that, I wished I had had someone like me to talk to when I was selling mine. So the broker that sold mine said to me, "What are you doing next?" And I was a little unsure at that stage. And so he said, "Well, come and, you know, you'd be good as a broker." So 4 years later, that's what I do. I talk to business owners about either getting out or getting in.
Must be very rewarding.
Yeah, it has its moments, I can assure you.
Yeah, so with your experience, Denise, what are these four things that you should really look for when you're buying an online business? Because it's such a big thing these days.
Yeah, well, certainly from an online perspective, the market is now old enough that there are online businesses of quality, and they have statistics, you know, there's financials now. They've been around long enough. There's financials. There's statistics from Google Analytics, for example. And there's lots of ways that you can verify information. In fact, with an online business, they are easier to verify in most cases, than a general bricks and mortar because it's kind of a lot harder to fudge the numbers, especially when you've got the likes of tools like analytics, for example, that sit at the back end and capture all the information anyway. And Google being Google, everyone kind of believes that. So, so they're a lot easier to verify. They're a lot easier to find out information about the business. It's captured regularly in the same manner. You've still got business owners that can fiddle with the P&L, but you've still got to make the numbers correlate. So it's not as easy to do that either. So, it's certainly a growing field. There is certainly a tendency now with some to, instead of building a portfolio of property, they're now building a portfolio of websites and online businesses that generate smaller amounts of income, but you bolt a whole lot of those together and you've actually got a nice little income coming in. So there's a lot going on in the space, and now once upon a time you would have started a website and possibly just shut it down if you didn't want it anymore, whereas now there's also a marketplace in terms of buying and selling both websites, online businesses. The thing about online businesses is that there are a number that tout themselves as such, but what it generally means most of the time is that they have an online front end, and still quite a manual back end, which is fine as long as you know what to do with that, then they're still good to buy.
What sort of businesses do you find seem to be, you know, lucrative, you know, more popular? Is there one over another?
Well, certainly the smaller online ones quite often have been started as a part-time income second business. So they can quite often be the partner that stays at home that has set them up initially. And they can tick over quite nicely. You know, I've got two on sale at the moment where the turnover is about 50 a year. And the profit on that is about 10 to 15. And they're doing that on five hours a week or something like that. So they are generating the holiday fund or something along those lines. But what then happens is if the thing actually kicks, then it can start blossoming into something somewhat larger than that, which is where a number of these smaller ones may come on the market at that stage because it's become bigger than the smaller one and they didn't want it at that size. So And because it's quite often the partner at home, it'll be generally product-based. They'll have an interest in a product. They'll have sourced a product, and then they'll have created the online e-commerce platform that enables the transaction to take place, but also for the items and so forth to be found.
Mm. So when you're looking to buy a business, what sort of the first step? Say someone's looking to buy an online business, say they were doing it through you, what sort of process would you go through?
Yeah, so the first couple of questions I ask is, one, does it generate traffic? And that has to be backed up by Google Analytics. Two, does it have a database? And more importantly, what's the relationship like with the database? So I'll often have people say, you know, I've got 10,000 on my database, but of course the question is how clean that is and how often you talk to it and how often they respond is actually more the clue. So the database is certainly one. Is it generating revenue? And is it profitable? Now, in classic business sales speak, usually a business is not profitable unless it's paying a salary to the working owner. Now, in the smaller online ones, the revenue is not there for that to happen. So generally speaking, it's the profit minus the expenses, as always, but minus the expenses, which are generally not very high with an online business. That is then what generates the profit, and that is then what the business owner generally keeps. And of course, like any, but it's set up as a business, so like any business, you can put a number of things that you think are appropriate through the business and live through it a little bit that way as well. So generally speaking, though, most websites are generating traffic, especially if they come to have the sale conversation. Most are generating traffic and can be verified. Most have a database. The relationship with that is questionable. Some will generate revenue, but not all, and not all are profitable either. So certainly the first two are there. And then, of course, the question is, that doesn't mean then that it's not a good buy. Depends what you're going to do with it. So if you're already in business and you want to buy a number of smaller ones to bolt onto your existing business, then the traffic and the database might be, you know, good enough to make purchase. But if it's something that it's your first buy, you want to be seeing, to take on a model that works, because as you would appreciate, of all the websites and all the online businesses around, I actually don't know what the percentage is. It's really hard to find out. But, you know, I would suggest to you that 70-80% of them don't actually make money.
Mm.
Like, they're there for every other reason, right? It can be brochure, it can be show and tell, it can be for a whole other raft of other reasons. So to actually find one that has a proven business model where it is generating revenue and has profit is actually worth a real consideration if it's part of a growth strategy or a get-in strategy for a business owner.
Now, when you said bolt-on, can you give an example of that?
Yeah, so I've got one that I sold recently where it was actually a terrarium business where it had an online front end, and obviously they were then making the terrariums at the back end and delivering them. And so a florist ended up buying that because it was a complementary, a bolt-on. Like, they already had their website, they already had their thing going on. But by buying that site, they already had the back-end part covered. So it wasn't necessarily an additional expense from their point of view. They had most of the stock already kind of there on hand. So to buy the traffic and the database and that, and they'd set up workshops and all sorts of things with this particular business. So it was a really nice complementary business to what I then call you buy it and you bolt it on.
Mm.
Probably I would still run it separately because the business name is known for that. But it's an entity that sits within the group.
Mm. So what sort of dollars would you be sort of expecting to pay?
Well, I've sold an online business at nearly $500,000, and I've sold a business, an online business at 10, 10,000. So, and you can pick them up a whole lot smaller than that as well. But usually speaking, they won't bother coming to a broker if it's too small, because it just doesn't make sense to do that.
No. So you're saying around about the 10 grand or more mark, they would generally come to a broker if they were smart enough?
They'll certainly come and have the conversation about it. Part of the reason why they'll use us is because we have access to websites to use that the business owner doesn't. So there's a couple of key websites that brokers, have use of, which are one of your main business for sale type websites. So it makes sense if they want to spread it out to a larger audience. But, you know, that can work equally as well on Gumtree. But if it's too big on Gumtree, you won't get any response, because Gumtree is kind of where it's, you know, it's more volume and less dollars. So a smaller one will sometimes work well on Gumtree. And then, of course, you've got the likes of the straight website ones, where you go to the likes of Flipper.com, which is one of the marketplaces, the Australian marketplace.
Wow. That's really interesting. It's quite fascinating the way the world's working these days, and just looking at a different perspective of getting into business, because obviously a lot of people, and particularly the older age group now, they're looking at other ways of, having some more additional income, because, you know, obviously a lot of us don't have as much as what we would like. So, Denise, if you were to sort of summarise that, what would be your key takeaway tips about buying an online business?
Look for traffic, look for the database, look for revenue, see if it's profitable. Yeah. And then actually understand what you're going to do with it, because regardless of what's happened previously, you may then decide that there's a whole lot of traffic there that you can utilise for other purposes. So be clear about what you're going to do with it and how you're going to make your money based on what you've just bought. Now, with any of these, I would suggest to you that you sit with it for 6 months and you learn the ropes. Like, you can pick up really small ones that are great for just learning how this works. And if you drop $1,000 or you drop, you know, it's not going to bust your chops in terms of, if you were then to buy a bricks and mortar business, you're not going to pick those up very cheap, usually. Mm. So you can pick these up at quite small prices. Practice on them, learn, understand. The best way to learn online business is actually to buy one and play on it. And then once you've got over your L plates, then step up to a P plate purchase, and then go on from there.
Mm. Really helpful tips, Denise. It's been great having you on the call today, and you've got a wealth of knowledge there, and I'm sure our listeners would love to, those that are interested, know some more. So before we finish off, can you tell me from your perspective, and I mentioned this to you, from life lessons in business, what would be your 3 to 5 key insights that you'd like to share with people about your success in life? Because you had a major business that you've sold. You've sold about 2 or 3 businesses. What would be your 3 to 5 key insights about success in business and life?
Yeah, so one of them would be stop with the learning gathering. You know, I mean, I do understand that there's a lot in learning and there's a lot in developing what you don't know, I get that. But really, the only way you learn this is to head down, bum up and do it.
Yeah, agree.
I can't stress that highly enough, really. And as I said, the beauty from an online perspective is you can start little. So that's great. Practice on that, learn that. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. It actually doesn't matter. So you can drop all the shame and regret and, you know, public kind of humiliation that may come out of something, you're going big time and it not working, because you just don't have to do that. You know, you can do it smaller scale, and within the confines of what you can do, within the parameters of what you can do.
Mm.
And the other thing I would suggest to you is take off a lot of the hats that we all run with, both as business owners but just as humans and parents and every other, you know, title that we can carry. We try and do too much. I think we just try and do too much. So you need, I think it's well worth getting really, really clear about what it is that you're trying to achieve, and lock and load on that.
Yeah.
Do that, get it to revenue, then go to the next thing. Get that to revenue, go to the next thing. Get that to revenue, go to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, the scattergun approach is just energy and time wasting.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to get a grip, don't you?
Got to get
it. Oh, that's been great, Denise. So if any of our listeners want to make contact with you, how do they do that?
Yeah, probably the best way to do that would be my email address is dhall, H-A-L-L, at businessbrokers.com.au. Or you can, you know, drop me a line through the group. That's fine. Private message, any of those. Yeah, happy to have conversations with anyone who wants to go down this path.
Great. Fantastic, Denise. Thanks so much for being a guest on today's show.
My pleasure.